You've been there? Been there? Everybody's name gets called and you're kind of waiting there, okay. You know? And you're the last person that's called. You're the last person that's called. Whatever it's for, you're the very last person that's called. And as I was standing there, I always remember these feelings. Am I good enough? Did I run fast enough yesterday? Did I play hard enough yesterday? Am I going to get called today? Well, lo and behold, I got called one time to race in the school's race day. And they had the single men's 440, which is once around the track as fast as you can go. As fast as you can go. One lap around the track. I got the bronze medal in that, by the way. Mind you, there's only three guys in the race. But I got the bronze medal. I don't know whatever happened to it. Would I be chosen or not? It was like my worth and my entire identity all hung in the balance. Am I going to be chosen today? Did I do a good enough job yesterday? Have you ever felt that way? Either in school or in life generally, maybe even with in your relationship with God. Have you ever really wondered if you've really been wanted? If you've really been wanted? Have you ever wondered if someone is going to choose you? Have you ever wrestled with your identity and who you are? Each day it seems like it changes because maybe your job changes. And what your numbers look like in your everyday performance. Does your identity change every morning when you look in the mirror? Sometimes I look in the mirror and I look at myself and I say, okay, like, when did this happen? Because only yesterday I think I remember when I was 20. Like, when did this happen? Today we're starting a new sermon series called Chosen. The next few weeks we're going to be talking about our identity, why we're here on earth. But at the core of this series, we're going to be talking about who we are, and to do so, we're going to start looking at 1 Peter. And today, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. So, 1 Peter here is writing to a group of brand new Christians. And they were having some identity issues. They didn't know who they were. And here in this portion of Scripture, 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10, there are two specific verses that help us to identify who we are in Christ Jesus. It says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Some great stuff packed into that first couple of verses there. There are just two specific truths here, if I keep it really simple. The first thing is, God picks us. He's not stuck with us. God picks us. He's not stuck with us. Peter said, you are a chosen people. You are chosen by God himself. The word chosen here translated as picked out. You're amongst the first people picked in the race. Chosen. Now back to my gym class, everybody remembers having team captains, right? Team captains. And one by one, they started to choose. They go right down the row. And you're on this side of the row, and they've started over there. And they're going all the way down, and you're getting to the very last. And those questions come up. Am I good enough? Am I fast enough? Am I good at running? Well, I did get the bronze medal, didn't I? I got the bronze medal. It's got to count for something. And I was always picked last because I wasn't good in gym class. Now, switching back to us today, it's so often that this is the same exact way we feel in life as a whole. We're just not good enough. Well, I don't know, because I'm not good enough. I'm not religious enough. I'm too broken. I've done so much things in my past. Why would God ever want to choose me? I'm too broken. I'm too messed up. I'm not good enough. I'm not religious enough. I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. I'm just not a good person. Let's face it. I ain't a good person. So why would God ever want to choose me? But back to the truth. God picks us. He's not stuck with us. In spite of everything, God picks you. Not only that, but he pursues you. And he says, come and follow me. So who are we? We are chosen by God. That's who we are. God picks us. He's not stuck with us. We are his, not our own. The second point here. Peter says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And that possession was bought with the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You were purchased as God's possession. You are God's person. You belong to him. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to him. You were created in his image. I remember sharing this so many months ago. When you look into the DNA molecule, the double helix, Meredith knows where I'm going with this. You see the different acids that make up, and they make up the name and the lettering of the acids that hold and bind the double helix of the human DNA molecule together, and those letters make up the name of Yahweh. You were created in the image of Almighty God. You have divine DNA stamped on your soul, on your life. You are his. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation. God's very own possession, bought at such a high price. As a result, you can show goodness to others. for he's called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. Be a light bringer. Shed light in the world rather than darkness. Rather than bickering and complaining, show light, show gratitude. Because you, and Donette and I preached this over and over again, you are the only Jesus that someone will ever see out in the marketplaces of the world. And I've always said we are made to magnify, made to mirror. We are his. Well, what does that mean if we're God's possession? That means that we have to realize that everything and of who we are is his. Everything of what we have is his. Everything that what we make in our income is his. Everything that we do in our life belongs to him. It's his. It all comes from God Almighty. It's all his. And so with our career and our position, our talents, it's all his. That's why we should always be asking ourselves, God, how can I use this for you? How can I use that for you? Dear God, how can you use me to be a blessing today to someone else? You ever see that movie, Pay It Forward? Bless it forward. Bless it forward. Be a blessing to someone today. That's why the moment that we start following Jesus, we surrender our lives and we declare, Lord, here's my life. This is me. Take it all. It's all yours. I want to follow you, not myself. I want to listen to you, not myself. Everything we have and everything we are comes from him. Everything, including our identity, our worth, our purpose here on this earth, comes from him. Peter says, once we had no identity, but now we are God's people. Everything we are, even our identity, comes from him. And so often, this is where we get it all wrong. Some people live by the fact that, well, I'm an accountant, or I've got this job, or I teach this university course, or I do this. Who we are is not what we do. Who I am is not what I do. My whole identity is not wrapped up in what I do. Because what happens if I can't do it anymore? What happens if I get ill and I can't play the keyboard anymore? What happens to me if my identity is wrapped up in this keyboard? Who I am is not what I do. Who I am is not how I look. Thank the good Lord for that. People used to say when I was in public relations years ago, Ken, you got a good face for radio. Who I am is not wrapped up in what I wear. You get where I'm going with this? That's all surface stuff. That's all surface stuff. It's not kingdom issues, and our leadership team know what I'm speaking of here. It's not kingdom stuff. That's surface stuff. Our identity comes only from God. We're convinced that our identity comes from who we know, who knows us. Our status, our income level, even good things like our family. In reality, it all comes from God. It all comes from God. What does that say about us? We're told that he created us in his image. He declared when he made man, this is good. This is good. God chose us. And we are chosen by God. He picked us. He's not putting up with us. And we are his. So instead of constantly running and striving to find our worth and our identity, what would change if we truly knew that we were chosen by God? How would we live our lives? I mean, instead of trying to be good enough and smart enough and liked enough and successful enough and handsome enough, and if you've got enough Twitter followers or if you've got enough Facebook posts, what would change in your life if we all came to realize that we are God's possession? What would change if we knew who we are, and even more specifically, whose we are? It's very simple. Peter's writing these words to new Christians. They were a little confused back in the day, and they were going to go into a time of great persecution. Literally being killed for their faith. They had to be rooted and grounded in love. They had to know who they were in Christ and whose they were if they were going to stand up to the persecution that they endured. You and I will probably never face that type of persecution, but I'm going to tell you this. Persecution these days comes in all shapes and sizes. And there will be coming a day when we will never be able to buy or sell. Right, Micah? Yeah. We have to know whose we are. And who we are in him. And just to be clear, choosing Jesus and making that decision of whose we are, that's a daily thing. There's the initial experience of accepting him as our personal Savior, and he makes us new, but really deciding to daily choose him is every day. It's an everyday decision. So we start off the day by saying, Jesus, today I want to find my worth in you. Jesus, today everything that I have and everything that I am is yours. And Jesus, I'm so glad it's not about being good enough or rich enough. For I am so glad, dear Lord, my salvation and who I am is not dependent upon how many Instagram followers I have. We pray today, Jesus, help me find my worth in you. Help me keep my worth in you, my purpose, my identity in you and you alone. Because I am yours. I'm not my own. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I am yours. I am yours. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth that is found in your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the truth that we are and have our identity in you. And because of that fact, Heavenly Father, we worship you. We love you. Give us faith and encourage us every day to step out in that faith of whose we are. Give us courage to witness to others about who you are. And use us, Lord, we pray. And God's children said, amen, amen. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. My forever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on my brow. If I will love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love my Jesus, 'tis I've got to tell you, this past week, I sat at the bedside of a dear saint who went to be with her Lord. And do you know what some of her last words were? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. Praise God. She went to meet her Lord, Micah. She went to meet her Lord. Donette and I have had a long-standing relationship with this family for many years, from our Bowmanville days and getting our eyes tested. It's just a friend. But she called the other day. She used to help us get her eyes, get her new glasses done in Bowmanville optometry. She called the other day, Ken, can you come? So I went. And I sat at the bedside of a dear saint of God as she prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord, my soul to take. And that's what happened. That's what happened. She's experiencing this right now in mansions of glory and endless delight. I'll ever adore thee and dwell in thy sight. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow if ever I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis now, even on my deathbed, if ever I love thee. My Jesus, it's right now. Let's stand together as we sing this final verse. For this week that lies ahead of us, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And it's only brought about by love. Love. The love that poured out from that old rugged cross so many years ago. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this place today. We pray, dear Lord, as we separate and go our different ways, dear Lord, that you'll keep us ever mindful of whose we are. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are yours, dear Lord, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, give us courage to step out in faith as we share your love with others this coming week. We pray this in and through the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.